Come run, come all, come heed our loving call and listen in your youth. Come run, come all, you're needed big or small to learn the tales of truth. For we are in a battle and join as warriors of light. Come run, come all, stand nobly brave and tall and join this glorious fight.
Hey, little chickadees. Good morning or good afternoon or good evening based on whenever you are listening to this. I have my favorite son here with me today. Do you want to say hi?
Hi.
And we are excited to tell you the story of the allegory of the olive tree. In our last story, I told you, Jacob told us that he would explain how it would be possible for the Jews to come to know Jesus Christ again, even after they've rejected him. So he explains it. Yeah, he explains it to us in this story, originally written by a prophet named Zenas, and we call it the Allegory of the Olive Trees. Do you know what an allegory is?
It's a very symbolic story.
Correct. It is a story that uses symbols to explain spiritual ideas. So it's kind of like the Pilgrim's Progress, too.
Yeah.
So as we listen to this story, let's try to figure out what the symbols might mean. Zenas began, "Listen to me, House of Israel. The Lord has said that he would compare you, the House of Israel, to a tame olive tree that a man took and nourished in his own vineyard." The man or the master of the vineyard, who do you think that is?
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, the tree, which represented the House of Israel, grew and grew over time, and it began to get old and decay. The master of the vineyard noticed this tree one day and said, "I will prune it and dig around it and nourish it so that it might grow young, healthy branches again and keep living." He did as he said he would and took care of the tree. And after many days, some young, tender branches actually did start to grow. But unfortunately, the top of the tree began to perish and die. This decay was a symbol of members of the House of Israel sinning and turning away from the Lord. Well, when the master saw the decay in his vineyard, he called his servant. Who do you think the servant represents?
Well, the Holy Ghost, maybe.
Maybe. It represents the prophet.
Oh.
Yeah. So he called his servant to him, or a prophet, and said, "Oh, I'm so sad that I might lose this tree. Let's try to save it. I want you to go and pluck the branches from a wild olive tree and bring them to me. Then we will cut the big dying branches from this tree, and we'll toss them in the fire to burn. Then I will take away these young, tender branches that just started growing on this big tree, and I am going to plant them in different places around my vineyard." That means that the Lord was going to scatter some of the Israelites all around the world, just like the other prophets we've been reading about have been teaching us. Now, I'm going to pause the story for a moment to talk about grafting. Do you know what it means to graft a branch into a tree?
It means to, cut a small slit in the big tree and cut one of the young branches off another tree that's been very healthy growing and tie it into the slit.
Yes. So you take, just like James said, you take the branch of one tree and cut a little bit out of the trunk of another tree. Then you put the branch from the first tree into the space that was cut out from the second tree and tie them tightly together with twine or tape. And then over time, as both the tree and the new branch grow, they fuse together and grow together to form one complete tree. That's kind of cool, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, let's get on with the story. The master said, I will plant these young branches all over my vineyard so that I can still gather the old tree's fruit from its branches planted other places if its own roots die. He turned to his servant and said, Now go grab some branches from wild olive trees and graft them into this big dying tree in the place of its young living branches, and we'll see what happens. Well, the master and the servant did as they had discussed, and after the different branches, which represent people from other nations in the world, were grafted into the big old tree, the master had it nourished and pruned again, and he said to his servant, Oh, it makes me sad that I might lose this tree. I really don't want its roots to die, which is why I'm taking such good care of it. Please watch over it and nourish it as I tell you to. Well, a long time passed, and the master said to his servant one day, Come with me. Let's go down to work in the vineyard and see how the trees are doing. So they went to the vineyard, and the servant said, Look, master, look at the big old tree. Now remember, this was the tree in which they had grafted some wild olive branches. So they looked at the tree and noticed that its branches had started to produce fruit. And the fruit was good. The master said, Ah, the wild branches have gotten enough water from the old tree's roots in order to grow strong, healthy fruit. You see, the roots of the big old tree represent Christ's doctrine and his gospel. The master continued, If we hadn't grafted them in, this tree surely would have died. I'll be able to collect a lot of fruit from this tree. Now, come, let's go look in the other places in my vineyard where I planted the old tree's young branches. I want to see if those branches have produced fruit too. So they walked around the vineyard and came to the first transplanted tree, and there was a lot of good fruit. The master was excited and told his servant to collect the fruit. And the servant asked, Master, why did you decide to plant the branch here? This is the poorest spot of land in your entire vineyard. And the master said, Ah, I knew it was a poor spot of ground, but I made sure to nourish it for a long time, and you see the results for yourself. It brought forth good fruit. Now, look over here. Here's another branch I planted, and it's in an even poorer spot than the first. But I've taken care of it for a long time, and look, it's also grown a lot of fruit for you to gather. Then the master said, Now, look at this other branch I planted. It was in a healthy spot of ground, and I took care of it the same way I took care of the others, but only half of the fruit is good, and the other half is wild. So pluck off the branches that did not grow good fruit and burn them up. But the servant said, Wait, master, let's prune it and dig it and nourish it a little bit longer and see if the wild half happens to grow any good fruit for us to save over the winter. The master agreed, so they took care of this tree for a while longer. James, what nation or people did Heavenly Father scatter into a good spot of ground, and half of them produced good works and the other half produced bad?
The Jews?
Yeah, so there was a particular Jewish family that he sent to a good land, and half of them were good and half of them were bad, and they fought against each other.
Lehi.
Lehi?
Yeah.
Oh. So the good fruit was?
Nephite.
And the bitter fruit was?
Lamanite.
Yeah, I think that interpretation could work really well here. So, They took care of that tree for a while longer, and a long time passed again. And the master said, "Come, servant, let's go to work in the vineyard, for the time for us to stop working is getting closer. So let's go check the fruit." Well, they walked up to the big old olive tree where the wild branches had been grafted in. And remember, it had produced good fruit before. But guess what? This time it was covered all over with all sorts of fruit. Bitter fruit, sour fruit, wrinkled fruit, rotting fruit. None of it was good. The master was sad that he had spent so much time taking care of this tree just to have it bring forth bad fruit. He said, "Oh, it makes me so sad that we might lose this tree. Servant, what do you think we should do to the tree?" And the servant looked at the tree, and he looked at his master, and he said, "Well, the branches of the wild olive tree that were grafted into this tree have helped keep its roots alive, so at least we know that the roots are still good." And the master said, "Yes, but it doesn't matter that the roots are still good if the fruit it produces is bad. I've tried to keep the roots alive so that it could help produce good fruit from the wild branches, but it seems that the wild branches have grown so much and so strong that they have overpowered the strength of the roots and have brought forth evil fruit. Now the whole tree is beginning to die, and I'm going to have to burn the entire thing unless we can do something to save it. Come with me, let's go to the other parts of the vineyard to see if the other trees have also produced evil fruit." So away they went. And do you know what they discovered? Huh. All the other trees had started to bring forth bad fruit too. The tree that had half good fruit and half bad fruit had become all bad fruit, and the good branches had withered and died. Oh, the master was so sad when he saw what had happened to all his fruit that he wept. He cried and he asked the servant, "What more could I have done for my vineyard? You see, I knew that the rest of my vineyard had become corrupted except for these trees back here, and I was hoping that they would have kept producing good fruit, but now all my trees have gone bad, and there's nothing left to do but cut them all down and burn them all up. Oh, I'm so sad that these trees back here are ruined, especially the one I planted in a good spot of ground. Oh, I should have gotten rid of half of the fruit that was bad so that it wouldn't overtake the good. Oh, I'm so sad. What else should I have done? I never stopped nourishing and digging and fertilizing my trees, but now the end of my vineyard is near and I'm going to have to burn them all up. Who has ruined my vineyard?" The servant looked at his master, and he looked at the trees. He thought, and then he said, I think your vineyard has been ruined because of the highness or loftiness of the branches. They've overpowered the good roots." This meant that the prideful people in the world were trying to destroy Christ's gospel and good works. And the master said, "Oh, fine. Well, let's go cut down the trees since there's nothing more I can do." And the servant said, "Wait, save it a little longer." And the master said, okay, I will, since it makes me so sad to think that I might lose all my trees. Let's do this. Let's take all the branches that I planted around in my vineyard, and let's graft them back into their original tree after cutting off all the worst branches. Oh, I really hope that will save my tree, since I know that its roots are good and strong." The master said, "Let's call the rest of my servants so that we can all work together to nourish my vineyard. It's going to take a lot of work, but this is the last time we have to work, and we can do it. Let's nourish these trees so that their roots can keep growing strong and healthy, so they can produce more good fruit." Well, the master did call his servants to work in the vineyard. Now, keep in mind, there were not very many servants, and they represented all of the righteous saints in this dispensation that we're in right now. Well, the servants went to work with all their might in the vineyard, and they cut off the wild branches from the old olive tree, and they grafted its original branches back into its trunk. They dug around and nourished and fertilized all the trees in the vineyard, and they slowly cleared away any branches that produced bitter fruit so that the roots and the branches could help keep each other healthy. Then they burned the bad branches all up. James, what does gathering all the branches that had been scattered back into its original tree remind you of?
The gathering of Israel.
Bingo! That's what the servants were doing. Is that what we're doing today?
Yes!
Woohoo!
So we're like his servants.
We are! And the servants worked with all their hearts and all their strength and their might, and they were obedient to everything their master asked them to do. Well, do you know what happened after all their hard work? The natural branches began to grow and thrive and produce delicious and precious fruit. And the wild branches were destroyed. And the master was so happy that he got to preserve so much of the fruit of his vineyard. All the fruits were equally good. And when the master saw this, he called his servants to him and said, "Ah, you've all worked so hard and have done as I've asked you to do. And now look, the fruit is good again. You will be blessed and feel so much joy because you have worked with me and have been obedient to me. I'll have this fruit that we've gathered together for a long time. And someday when my fruit turns bitter and evil again, I will gather up all the good that I can, and then I will completely burn and destroy my entire vineyard." Well, that's the end of the allegory of the olive tree. What do you think?
That was great.
Yeah. So if you listeners out there have any questions, you can ask your mom or dad to help you understand things better if you're not quite sure what it all means. Now, really quick, I just want to take a moment and talk about Jacob's original question. He asked, how would it be possible for the wicked house of Israel to get back to Christ after having rejected him? Well, as the allegory taught us, Christ, the master of the vineyard. Oh, do you have a thought?
They could repent.
Yes, they could. The allegory teaches us that Christ, the master of the vineyard, would do all he could to help people make righteous decisions and join his church and make covenants with him, just like the master of the vineyard did all he could to preserve good fruit. And the master would have servants to help him, just like Christ has Latter-day prophets, apostles, and disciples like us. Do you think you could be a good help to him today by being a good disciple?
Maybe.
Yeah. You can help him prepare the world for the second coming.
Yeah.
I think we can all do it. We can work with our might, just like the servants in the allegory did, so that we can have joy through working with Christ. All right, Chicken Lickens, it is time to end my story for the day. So until next time, I hope you have a beautiful life.
Uh-huh.